I see myself in the future as being somebody who does TV, podcasts, books. Like that, I'm a content creator at my core. I see myself having more than one podcast, having a TV show, and writing a bunch of books. And so that's my big vision picture for that.
Most hosts never achieve the results they hoped for. They're falling short on listenership and monetization, meaning their message isn't being heard and their show ends up costing them money. This podcast was created to help you grow your listenership and make money while you're at it. Get ready to take notes. Here's your host, Adam Adams.
Welcome back to the podcast on podcasting. For some reason, I still don't know why I had the gall to start the podcast on podcasting. Not even that good of a podcaster. And so here I am with imposter syndrome, and it's not even what we're talking about. We've got Nikki Nash in the house virtually. What's going on, Nikki?
Oh, you know, battling with mindset and imposter syndrome every day. So I feel you. I'm with you.
I don't even know if that's where we'll take the podcast, which is kind of funny. We're starting it off that way. Then the listener's like, okay, we're going to talk about imposter syndrome. Good. How do I get over it? Maybe that's what we'll talk about. Who knows? Nikki, I love your podcast. I love your attitude. I was talking about that with you before we started. You seem to always have this uplifting, loving, genuine demeanor. And I think it really draws people in. Your podcast is awesome. It's called Market Your Genius. So Nikki Nash, she's the host of Market Your Genius podcast. I'm actually a subscriber. I love the content that she puts out. She's a podcast host. She also is a Hay House author. I didn't know what that was. I'll be honest with you. I don't read enough self-help books. I need a lot of help. And usually I want to help other people, but I need that self-help. But Hay House is like the top publisher of books in that self-improvement, self-development space. And so she's launched and published one of her books through that. And she's also the creator of Genius Profit Society, Market Your Genius podcast. And Genius Profit Society is a training and development program with a mission to equip entrepreneurs like you with the tools, resources that you need to share in the profit of your message. What's going on, Nikki Nash? It's like my name, Adam Adams. It's easy to say, and it's like you can't not say the whole name.
Yes. You know, growing up so often, people would just say, I'm sorry, I'm just going to call you Nikki Nash. I'm like, that's fine.
So when did you start your podcast? What year was it? And what was going on through your head?
Oh, it was a cold winter day. No, I'm just kidding. I officially started my podcast in, I believe it was October of 2019. And it all started because in March of 2019, I was going through the notes of my phone and I was cleaning them out because I had thousands of notes. Just, you have a thought, you put a note in your phone, and that was going on for years. And I found this note that was 3 or 4 years old that said, start podcast. And I'm sitting there going, huh, well, I apparently had this brilliant idea to start a podcast many years ago, and I haven't done it yet. So I decided I was going to do it. And I just went all in and said, all right, Nikki, you have to start this podcast. You have to make it happen because you thought it was a good idea. And I just so happened to be at a conference when I saw this note, and I was there as a speaker, but they had a ton of workshops on how to launch and grow a podcast. And since I could attend all of those for free as a speaker, I just started attending podcasting workshops to get over that fear of, what if I mess this up? How can I actually launch this? I don't know what I'm doing.
I'm making notes. Get over the fear, because I have so many questions and I don't want to get derailed because you got lots of good stuff. One of my questions, Nikki, is like, you've got your training development program called Genius Profit Society. That's one thing. And then you've got your book, and then you've got your podcast. Out of curiosity, the listener is probably going to be inspired. Oh, okay. Now I need to have a book. Now I need to have a business. Crap. What comes first? The chicken or the egg? Do I start my podcast first? Do I publish my book first? Do I have a business first? Does my podcast start my business? So what did you do, Nikki? And what would you recommend to most people listening if they should go in your same path or do it in a different direction?
Yeah. So I started first with the business. And my business, when I first started it, I was a marketing consultant, and I would help my very first clients were startup companies who wanted to get more users for their app or get more ad or audience so that they could get ad dollars. There were all different types of business models, but I was essentially a like fractional CMO. I would come in and really understand what they were trying to accomplish. And they had team members, but they didn't have anybody who could lead the team and at least get them in the right direction. So I'd come in and help train somebody who could become the leader of that company from a marketing perspective, and then I'd bounce. And I did that for a little over a year and said, I don't want to actually do this because it's a lot like having a job, but I am doing it for startups. And I was head of marketing for a startup company, but I'm now doing it for multiple companies as opposed to just one. And I hired a coach who was a business coach, and I realized, whoa, coaching is a thing. So my first thing that I, or the first thing I started with was the business. I started consulting, then I moved into more marketing, coaching, and mentorship, and then ultimately created a membership to help me reach more people. So business came first. Book proposal technically came second. So I pitched Hay House my book idea. And in that proposal, I wrote that my podcast was launching, and I think I picked a date. I think I actually might have picked October of 2019. And so I did that to give myself some time to actually figure out what the heck I was supposed to be doing. And so the book proposal came next, and then the podcast came. And that was the order that I did it in. If I were to start it over again, I would say to someone, for me, it was business, podcast, technically, and then physical book. Then I started writing the book. But for anybody else, I would say, start with either the business or the podcast. And it depends on where you are. If you don't have a business and you're not entirely sure what business you'd like to have, I would start with a podcast because it's a great way to get your thoughts out, to build an audience, to become an expert in something. And then you can easily spin a business off of that. If you already have a business, then I would say start the podcast and have that rocking and rolling and then write the book. Because what's so great is when I was writing the book, it was pretty easy for me because I was writing things that I taught in my business when I would teach workshops and stuff, and then on the podcast. And so it was very much a compilation of knowledge that I acquired through my business and through the podcast.
I love that. I appreciate you going in through your journey and just kind of giving us some ideas of what we should do as well. Market Your Genius podcast. When you were starting that, you already had your business. You did some consulting, you had your coach, you had a proposal. What made you title it Market Your Genius? And did you think of other titles? And why didn't you choose them if you did?
Yeah. So actually, the show was originally called The Nikki Nash Show, which is going to be a podcast at some point. I'm like reserving that title for something else. But it was originally The Nikki Nash Show because my name's Nikki Nash. And I'm like, I can't not use my name in the title of something because it's so easy for people to remember. And as I was producing episodes, I realized that the title of my book was going to be Market Your Genius. And I wanted to turn Market Your Genius into a brand. And I wanted to name my podcast either the same thing or something similar when it's tied to what the book's about, which is business, marketing, entrepreneurship, that sort of realm. And I wanted to keep the Nikki Nash Show as me talking about anything. It could be lifestyle, it could be friendship, relationships, anything. And so the title really came because it was the title of my book. But when I was thinking about titling the podcast, I wanted it to be something that was easy for people to remember. Ideally give people an indication of what it was about. Is it a business podcast? Is it a lifestyle podcast? Is it a relationship podcast? What is it about? And keep it short. Like, I knew I didn't want it more than three words, maybe four, but three is my favorite number. So I really strived for a three-worded title.
I enjoy three-worded titles. Market Your Genius. They're simple. And I like that it's an action word. And it also just makes you feel good. So there's a lot good about that title. I have a mention to you, Nikki Nash Show, also three words, is currently, hopefully not by the time this comes out, currently available as a domain for $8.88.
So what you're saying is really quickly, go buy. What, I'm going to buy. I'm going to buy Nicki Minaj.
I'm going to buy it right now and I'll sell it to you for $3,000.
Yeah, it's like $10,000.
No. I'll give you a deal. 30%. $3,000. $888. Go get Nicki Minaj show right now. And you better before this comes out, because you know my listener is going to be a broker for sure. They're going to be like, I'm buying that right now. I'm going to go check. So get it while it's hot, Nicki Minaj, NickiNajShow.com. Anyway, back on subject. So how many episodes are you into the Market Your Genius podcast?
Wow, right now I'm probably at like 145 or 150, somewhere around there.
Amazing. So by the time this comes out, we'll just say over 150 episodes that you've recorded, published, and aired on your podcast. Very high percentage of people that start podcasts, Nicki, they quit at 6. So I wonder, what did you do differently to avoid that pod fade?
Ooh, avoiding the pod fade. Okay, so first thing is first, I learned really quickly what I could and could not do. And so the first 3 episodes of the show, I recorded and edited myself. And I hated everything about that. I was like, this is terrible because that's not where my skill set is. I'm like, I can talk into a microphone. I had that set up. I, interestingly enough, had the mic. You know, I have a Blue Yeti, but I bought it maybe 2-3 years before I started my podcast. I probably purchased it with the intention of starting a podcast, then never started it. So I figured it was a sunk cost and I'd just start using it. But I then used, I think, Audacity to start editing the first couple episodes of the show. And I recorded the first 3 or so, and you release them ideally right away. And so because I had recorded them a decent amount before they were due to air, I realized I can't edit my podcast. So I then searched for somebody to do it for me. So lesson number 1 for me was know what you are good at and what you're not going to be good at, because I knew that if I were editing each episode, there was no way I was making it past episode 6, because I burnt out after episode 3. So that was number 1. And then the other things that I've discovered that have allowed me to really be consistent, I would say, is 1, when I hired that editor, I gave them permission to call me out if they didn't have an episode in time, like all the recordings in time for them to edit the show. And so what would happen is I was recording each episode a week at a time. And so if it was due, if my episode's now released on Tuesdays, if it was releasing on Tuesday, I probably on Friday or Saturday was like, oh, crud, I forgot to record a podcast episode. And then it wouldn't give my editor, like, they would do it, but if I missed something, it didn't give them enough time. So I put in systems and structures to say, episodes have to release on Tuesdays. You have to tell me if I didn't give it to you with enough time. If you need it by 5 p.m. on, like, Thursday, I'm making this up, then at 4:59, if you don't see anything, feel free to message me and say, Nicki, I need this episode. And so empowering them really helped me. And I never missed an episode from then, because I then knew that somebody was going to call me out on my crap. And I really don't like that. I like to have it together. So that helped me. And then the other thing that I did, which was a little bit crazy, if you notice, I started in October of 2019. And so by May of 2021, I already have over 150 episodes, let's say. It's because in 2020, starting January, I said, you know what? What's going to help me really get systems and structures in place and do this well is if I release 2 episodes a week. So I said, I did it as an experiment. And in 2020, I released 108 episodes. It forced me to put systems and structures in place so that I would make it past episode 6. So what that looks like for me right now is I essentially record the episode, intro, outro, interview. I put it in Dropbox. We have an Airtable document, but when we started, it was a Google Sheet document. I just happen to love Airtable. And we literally put the title of the episode, the show notes, and any notes for the editor, like, ooh, I messed up here. Please cut this out. Or there was a big pause because a dog was barking. Like, just make note of that. So we put just some notes in there. And I gave my editor access to my Lisbon account. I use Lisbon. And so all that happens is I put things in Dropbox, and then everything else is taken care of from that point out. And now I have interns and team that write the titles and show notes. So literally all I'm doing is hitting record and putting things in Dropbox.
I got so many notes. I love it. Number one, know what you're good at and what you're not. And when you realized what you're good at, you decided you could hire off some of these pieces to other people. For example, if you had to edit it all, you wouldn't have a show. Number two, babysitter. You got a babysitter to slap your hands to say at 4:59 on Thursday, I don't have anything and I need it right now. And I did the same thing. Well, I have my virtual assistant basically be my babysitter. And I am embarrassed usually. I'm like, I know you have to babysit me, but I need you to, these are my checklists. And I can't even look at my own checklist because I'm dyslexic. So you got to like warn me and tell me. And that's helped me a lot as well. So number two, have a babysitter to slap your hands. Number three, release more episodes in a week. That allowed you to automatically get past six really fast. Number four is just getting your systems in place. And you do things like having a Google Doc with the title on there and a cut sheet with the notes that you've made about dog barking and utilizing Dropboxes. That's not a word. There's no way you can say Dropboxes. Don't cut that out.
I'm going to start using
it, though. Too funny. Dropboxes. Interns and other virtual assistants and things like that. So that's really, really helpful if we don't want to get into this thing called pod fade. Those four things are going to be really helpful. So if you didn't catch them, rewind a couple of minutes and listen through and take good note because most podcasters do experience pod fade. Nikki, you've done a lot of things right. You have a personality that pulls everybody in. You have an awesome show and you have an awesome team and you've been extremely successful at everything that you've done so far. You've tried a lot of cool things. What I'm wondering is what you'd do differently. You're even 150 episodes in. Looking back on it, what would you do a little bit differently if you could go back and tell your 2019 self to do it over?
One, I would have started the 3 or 4 years before when I wrote the note, start podcast, because it's just been so amazing for me and my business for a number of reasons. And we can totally talk about that. But I think the things that I would say to myself are one, you get better over time. And I think so often there's this desire to make sure your show is amazing day one. And yes, you don't want to put out crap, but could you not to make some of these deadlines? I would be recording a podcast episode on my phone with earbuds waiting for a train because I had to go into New York and I needed to get something like it needed to get done. And can editors do complete miracle works? No, but I figured I'm in my car. There was nobody around. That kind of was like a sound booth, right? So I feel like it wasn't completely terrible, but just give yourself some grace and know that your episodes will get better. I would say, definitely have a clear idea of what you are starting a podcast for. I think when I first started the show, I had this vision that people were going to listen to this show and it was just going to be about me speaking and giving advice. And then all of these people would go, Nikki, you're so amazing. And then they'd buy my products and services, right? And kind of by accident or as a favor, I had a friend who I was inviting me to speak at their conferences and I liked them a lot. And I'm like, what can I do for them? And I'm like, I don't know. I'm like, well, I have a podcast. Why don't I just invite them to be a guest? And we had so much fun. And I realized that there's so much more to having a podcast than just you speaking alone. And by inviting people to be a guest, I learned new things. I grew my network. I built stronger relationships with people. And those are the same people that ultimately, not all of them, but a lot of them, I've reached out to write endorsements for my book and different things like that. So I would tell my earlier self, it's not all about the direct sale, like the, I must talk about myself and then get people to buy. It's so much bigger than that. And there are so many more opportunities. And I probably tell myself to implement systems and structures earlier because, man, that's been a game changer. And to write blog posts for every podcast episode or something like that, or even the transcript, we're now retroactively doing a lot of this stuff. And let me tell you, when you have 100 and something episodes, it's a real pain in the butt to go back in time and build a blog post for them.
I got six amazing things from Nikki Nash. Nikki, I need to bring you onto the podcast more often because it's like I can ask you any question and you'll give it into a succinct, like, do this, then this, then this, then this, or these are the five things, or these are the four things, or these are the six things. I love it. So as far as asking Nikki, what would you tell yourself if you had to do it all over again? One, I would have started 3.5 years earlier. Two, you get better over time, so give yourself grace. Three, have a clear idea of your why behind the why. What are you doing this podcast for? Four, number four, other benefits, other tangible benefits. It's not just a direct sale. You are connecting with people. You're having fun. You're networking. You're learning from other people, etc. Number five, I would have created systems and structures way earlier. And number six, I would have done more marketing, blog posts, and transcripts from the get-go. Awesome, awesome advice. Nikki, where do you want to take your podcast? Like, what's your ultimate goal? I know you're starting a new podcast eventually that's called Nikki Nash Show. And I know that you bought that domain before this comes out, or else you're in big trouble. And so you've got this second podcast. What is your whole plan with all this? Like you said, know your why behind the why. Know why you're doing this. Where are you going?
Yeah. So there are two answers to that question. And the first I will say is kind of like the big, big picture. And what I've really realized about myself, I always go back to when people would ask me, what do you want to be when you grew up? Or more importantly, when I was in corporate, if you weren't doing this, what would you do? And my answer was always that I would be some sort of combination of Oprah and Kelly Ripa. Like, I would have a TV show, I would interview people, I would bring transformation and different things to the world, business growth, things along those lines. And so for me, I see myself in the future as being somebody who does TV, podcast, books like that. I'm a content creator at my core. And so I see myself having more than one podcast, having a TV show, and writing a bunch of books. And so that's my big vision picture for that. In terms of the Market Your Genius podcast and where I'm going, and this is early, so people are getting some early insight. One of the big changes we made in 2021 is I started doing episodes in series. And so I would, for example, and Adam, you're going to be in this one when we record our episode, I'm doing a series on podcasting. And so there's like two parts to it. It's starting a podcast and building a podcast. And then part two is being a guest on a podcast, for example. So, and we had one that was called Work Hard, Play Harder, about work-life balance, even though I don't like that phrase, but it was really about setting boundaries and saying no and having a life outside of your business. And so what I'm doing is I'm bringing in guests and we're talking about similar things, like, and if you're looking at the big picture, but it's a different takeaways and knowledge each week. Now, the reason why that's important is because where we're going is with my membership, the Genius Profit Society, we're starting to theme the months and make them implementation months. Like, this month, you're going to be focused on implementing this. And so what I'm looking to do is to have those themes align with the podcast themes so that I can say, hey guys, if you want to implement some of the things you're learning here, if you want a community, if you want more support, then join the membership. And what I'm also looking to do, and I guess time will tell if this is the way it actually works, is to have the guests on my show, those episodes be a little bit shorter and have us record longer episodes that are exclusive for the membership so that the podcast information, it becomes valuable, but it's more snackable. And if you want a deeper experience, then you can join our membership program where you get so much more support. So that's where I'm looking at it as on its own, valuable, amazing. But when you also look at it, it's a way to funnel and feed people into the Genius Profit Society. So that's something that we've been exploring now as a way to align the podcast and my business a bit more.
Holy cow. You're so good at this. In a minute, I'm going to ask you a question on how to be a better guest on a podcast, because you already talked about how that's going to be part of one of your series here coming up. And you literally just crush it at adding immense amount of value to the listener. So with your goal or your vision for where your podcast is going, you had two big things. And number one is the big picture is Oprah and Kelly Ripa. You basically want to be on TV, podcasts, and books, lots of podcasts, and your own TV show. So that's kind of where you plan on going. And also the second one was your membership with these like working on your membership, growing your membership, utilizing some type of episode series where it's shorter, more bite-sized stuff. And then the longer stuff is when they are part of that membership. So bringing people into the Genius Profit Society, having shorter episodes, going deeper. For example, you mentioned starting a podcast and being a guest on a podcast, which brings me to how do you be a better guest on a podcast? Like, what are you thinking when you're on my show today? Like, what is honestly going through your mind? Like, because it's so good. Like, you do such a great job.
Thank you. Well, I will say that I taught digital marketing and business courses for a long time. And I think because of that, when people ask me questions, I'm usually answering it from the standpoint of how can I answer this so that they can learn from it, implement something from it, grow from it, that sort of thing. And so I think when you're trying to be, or you want to be a good guest, remember that the people who are listening to the episode don't care about you. Like, they care about you, but like, that's not usually why they're listening. They're listening because they want to know how you can help them and they want to walk away with actionable steps. And so I listen to a ton of podcasts and I think that helps me when it comes to guesting, because when I was writing the book, for example, and even still today, to be honest, I binge listen to episodes about writing, publishing, and marketing books, right? And the episodes that really stuck with me were the ones where I was taking a lot of notes, where I started implementing things that I learned, and then I would go back and tell everybody and their mother to go listen to that episode or listen to that show because I walked away with such value. And you would remember oftentimes who was giving you all of this information and great ideas. And so when I encourage people to be podcast guests is to realize that, yes, sure, you want to share your knowledge and probably some of your stories and things that are going really well for you. But at the end of the day, it has to be through the lens of how is this at all relevant or valuable to the other person and specifically the person listening. So if you want to be a good guest, some things you can easily do before you get on the show, get really clear and listen to a couple of episodes to do it, but get really clear on who would be listening to this show. Who's the audience of the show? And if you're not 100% sure and you can't figure it out from the podcast's website or things like that, ask the host before you hit record. Just say, hey, who is the show for? Like, what do you think that their biggest challenges are so that you can make sure that you're answering questions through that lens? And so I think that's incredibly valuable. I would also say be open and don't worry if you mess up. There are tons of podcast episodes where I'm like, I make up words. I'm like, I can't remember the real word for this, so I'm going to make up a word right now and we're just going to roll with it. Like, be yourself. Don't worry if you mess up. And the more you guess, the better you will be. I think one of the reasons why I love podcasting, and I honestly feel like I improved dramatically because I not only was producing my own podcast, but I was a guest on other people's shows. And so this year, 2021, I have a goal of being a guest on 108 podcasts. Since I did 108 episodes of my own show last year, I'm like, all right, let me see if I can do 108 episodes on somebody, like on different people's podcasts. And I feel as though having all of those things combined, when you speak that often, you're going to get better.
So true. I like the part specifically where you said that the listener really cares about themselves for the most part. I know you're listening now and you're like, did Adam just call me selfish? Yeah, I did. I did. I'm also selfish. And Nikki probably is too, a little bit. We all have what's in it for me. Everybody's favorite radio station, WIIFM radio. And so what's in it for me? And if you can pull it back to the listener, it's always going to be a benefit. And I love the part where you said that oftentimes you, Nikki, you've shared episodes of what you're listening to simply because you get the most amount of value from that episode, not because the person was pounding on their chest being like, look at me, but when you got the value, that's when you shared it. So they actually got further by just pouring into the listener and moving that focus off of, as a guest, moving the focus off of themselves and just telling their story to how does this relate to the listener. It's huge. So I'm wondering about imposter syndrome. Since we started the episode today out where I was talking about how I'm an imposter with the podcast on podcasting, and you said you had felt that way before as well. How does the listener kind of get over I mean, how does the new podcaster, for example, get over that feeling of, am I good enough? Should I really start this? Should I really call it that? How do we help the listener to be a better podcaster?
Yeah. So I've concluded, and this has been the biggest mindset lesson that I've ever had, is that it's going to be a daily occurrence that you'll probably have moments of fear or imposter syndrome. And I discovered this because I was really into self-help growing up, and to the point where when I was a kid, Borders Bookstore, if anybody remembers when that existed, it's basically Barnes and Noble, but it was in our region. We also had Borders. And in the Borders, I would either be in the magazine section, which is kind of funny because my first jobs were at magazines, the CD section, because we had CDs back then, and the self-help section were the three places you'd find me. And so self-help junkie. But one of the things I apparently never realized from all of my self-help books and whatnot is that when you go through a period of awakening or aha moments, when you realize, oh, this is the reason why I'm afraid, or this is the core reason why I'm blocked or not doing the thing I said I was going to do, it doesn't mean that because you're aware, it suddenly goes away. And that's something I didn't realize, because people talk about transformation as if you are a caterpillar turning into a butterfly, right? And to me, a caterpillar is a caterpillar, and then it becomes a butterfly, and it's a butterfly for the rest of its life. Except for this is more like you're a caterpillar. One minute you're a butterfly, the next, then you're back to being a caterpillar, then you're a butterfly again, and it just goes back and forth. And the reason why this is important is because if you have those moments of imposter syndrome, know first that you're going to probably have that feeling more than once. And so if you get over imposter syndrome for a period of time, start the podcast, and then it comes up again and you don't want to produce another episode, that's normal. Like, don't beat yourself up over that, because that is normal. And there are things that have helped me. I can share what's helped me. It hopefully will help you, but I'm sure there are other things that have worked for other people that might be of help to you. And the first thing I had to do specifically with the podcast is I had to tell myself that this show is not about me. And when I could really sit down and go, it's not about me. It's not about how wonderful I am. It's not about if I have the right credentials or the expertise. It's purely the fact that I believe that the market, either my target audience or the person that I envision to listen to my show, that they would really benefit from this content, and that it currently doesn't exist in the way that I'm going to deliver it. And when I can sit down and think of it from that perspective, then it's not, oh, am I good enough? Should I show up? It's, you know what? This person needs what I'm going to say. This person needs me to do this interview. This person needs this message today. And they may listen to it today. They may listen to it tomorrow. They may listen to it 5 years from now, but I need to create it, because if it doesn't exist, then it's a disservice to other people. And I try to make it less about me and more about how I can be of value to other people.
Love it. Jeez, man. You're amazing. All right. There's so much value, Miss Nikki Nash. I have more notes with you than I think I've had with 95% of my podcast guests. I've just learned so much from you. It all starts off with a long time ago, you were at a conference that you were speaking at, and somehow you were lucky enough to go in for free with all of these different podcasts, and you kind of got over your fear by immersing yourself into what podcasting is. And through kind of getting normalized to podcasting and podcasting terms and other podcasters and things you can do to podcast, you started being able to see a vision of yourself actually podcasting. So even after 3.5 years, you went ahead and took the plunge, regardless of imposter syndrome. You went ahead and jumped in and started a podcast in October of 2019. You're over 150 episodes in by the time the listener is listening to this. You shared with us today, knowing what you're good at, maybe needing a babysitter. Some of us do. I do. Releasing extra episodes to make sure you have enough, and creating all of those systems and the team that you need. We also talked about the few things that you could do in order to make sure that you do better at podcasting. You gave us 6 things. I'm not even going to go over them. They're already in the show notes, and the listener hopefully took great notes. You talked about your vision, where you're going to go with this, and you have a big vision. You have good aspirations and dreams, and I cannot wait to see you achieve that. You talked about being a better guest, knowing the listener, what they care about. They care about themselves, not you. You shared other people's podcasts because you got value, not because they talked all about how cool they are. And you are sure that you want to share your story, but you want to make sure that it's also relevant to the listener. You talked about getting clear on who's listening, like before you become a guest on a podcast, getting clear on who's listening. You've talked about a couple ways that we can do that, either by doing our reconnaissance on our own, going and looking at the email, listening to a couple of episodes, or simply just asking. If we couldn't figure it out through that way, just ask. You want to learn their biggest challenges. What is the listener going through? And that's going to be able to help you. And you talked about your goal of being a guest on 108 episodes. Nikki, that one thing is going to be one of the biggest things that grows your influence. If you're doing 108 of your own episodes, that's good. But if you're doing 108 on other people's podcasts, you're going to be hacking into all of these 108 networks where they start loving you because you're just lovable. They head over to the podcast and learn from you with your upcoming two different podcasts. When we talked about imposter syndrome, you said it's really a daily occurrence. I like the way that you mentioned that, because with something that's a daily occurrence, most of us are getting into this wondering like, all right, I just got to get over the imposter syndrome and then it's over. But the way that you said it is like, hey, we hit that every single time. I hit that today when we started this podcast, because you're 150 episodes in and I'm like, oh my gosh, you know, this podcast is less. So thinking about us knowing that we're going to have to come across that frequently is going to be huge, I think, for a lot of listeners to be able to put out their podcast and grow it. And I love that quote, and you don't want to produce another episode. That's normal. I thought I was the only one who felt that way. I'm like, oh, crap. Like, I'm good. Like, I've done so many. I've done 100 or whatever. A lot of really good stuff. And then the first thing you need to do, this show is not about me. They're going to benefit from the way that I share this. Nobody else has done it before. I need to put this out and somebody needs to hear my message. And I'll be honest, I think of that each and every time I do a podcast. I'm like, what does my exact avatar have to learn today from Nikki Nash, for example, and just kind of extracting that and pulling it out. So are you ready to give us your best advice ever and drop the mic?
Yes. Hold on. Let me pick up a mic. No, I'm just kidding. So I can drop it. Oh my goodness. Best advice ever. And it's really funny because I had it in my head. And then as you were speaking, I started going, maybe I should change it to this thing that I'm about to say. But I would say best advice ever for anybody who's looking to launch a podcast or get momentum in the podcast that they've recently created, I would say make sure that you treat your podcast as if it's a product in it of itself. So often people think, oh, I'm just starting a podcast and it's a marketing tool. Especially if you're an entrepreneur, or it could be a marketing tool for your personal brand. And yes, a podcast is a marketing tool. A book is a marketing tool. I have a book coming out and I'm literally looking at it as a marketing tool for which I got paid for, right? Like, I get paid, but I'm using it as a marketing tool. And when you look at a podcast that way, you start doing these fundamental things, which are getting really clear on the premise of the show. What is the show like? What's the style of the show? Is it an interview show? Is it a solo show? Is it a hybrid? Are you trying to do 10-minute, 15-minute episodes, or 30-minute episodes, 45 an hour episodes? What is your general length or idea of the show? Who do you want to listen to the show? What do you hope they get out of it? When you're able to answer those fundamental questions early on, it makes every decision you have to make moving forward clearer. Because when you're thinking about what's your cover art, well, the cover art, yes, it needs to look clean and stand out, but ideally it should attract the person that you're trying to attract, right? And if you're thinking about how should we title the show? What types of episodes should we have? All of that really comes down to you having that fundamental clarity on who you're bringing this podcast to, why you're bringing it to them, what you're hoping they get out of it, and even what is the next step you want them to take. And I think that is kind of like the best thing I can say to folks that are getting started or who are already building this podcast, because know that it's changeable. Oftentimes people are like, oh my goodness, Can I change the name of my show? I did. I changed the name of my show. I changed it from every week was a new episode to I changed it to now there are series. You can make changes. All you have to do is say, hey guys, I'm making this change. Here's why I'm making the change. You can do an episode on it. It's great. And then you keep on moving. And people who are joining later may never know you made the change. And people who joined earlier hear that you've made a change and why. So I would say really get clear on what you're looking to accomplished with this show, who it's for, all that fundamental topics or questions that I mentioned earlier, and then just know that there's flexibility in it and you can evolve and make changes and grow, so you don't have to feel stuck in, I created the show and it could only be this way forever, that you can make some changes.
So good, Nikki. So if you're listening and you want to support Nikki and you appreciate everything that she dropped today, all you need to do is go to marketgrowyourshow.com. That's mine. Go to Market Your Genius, and you'll just find it wherever you're listening to this podcast. She's got it there as well. And just jump over, listen to an episode or two, and then honestly, just give her a real authentic rating and review. Just whatever you feel about the show, let her know, and that'll support her a ton. And I know you'll learn if this short episode today is anything like the kind of value that you're going to get from her, you got to go over there and start listening to her podcast. So it's called Market Your Genius. I'm actually a subscriber myself. I love the show, Nikki. And I will say, as we're finishing out, Nikki, you had some really good thoughts on treating your podcast as a product in and of itself, and just how to get clear and what style and how to kind of think through that process and everything else that we shared. I want to say thank you. If the listener is ready to start a podcast, I can help you. Go to growyourshow.com. Let's have a conversation. We can just discuss what that looks like. Or if you're looking to just take your podcast to the next level, I can help you. Go to growyourshow.com. But first, stop over at Market Your Genius and give her an honest rating and review. Nikki, thank you for jumping over and adding so much value. And anything that you shared about yourself, you put it into the context of the listener exactly the way that you were teaching us to do. I learned a lot from you, and I know that the listener got a lot of value out of it too. So with that said, that's a wrap.
This episode is brought to you by growyourshow.com. Grow Your Show lets you be the star of your show while we handle all the hard stuff. We offer reliable and affordable post-production services that allow you to grow your show organically without all the work. So go ahead and check out the website right now and feel free to schedule a call with me and let's take your show to the next level. Again, growyourshow.com. You just press record. We handle the rest.